Oh, I know what you're thinking, folks. I do apologise. You're probably thinking to yourself, oh my goodness me, it's one of those hot gospeler types. My advice to you when that happens, by the way, is keep your head down, don't make eye contact, look at the carpet. It's a lot easier. Okay? Start again and back again, sir. Have you been born again? It's a bit embarrassing when that happens, isn't it? When someone does that to you. It happened to me many years ago when I was a vicar in London. One day I'd been out visiting. I wasn't wearing a whistle, I was just wearing a jacket and dog collar. And I was in a shop in the supermarket, and I'd done a bit of shopping on the way home. And at the checkout, I was about three in the queue, and I was just waiting to be served. And I heard this lady's voice saying, "Excuse me, have you been born again?" She meant me. I have a dog collar one. I thought it meant with the territory, actually. But it was really embarrassing. So I said, "Actually, yes, I'm a vicar." She said, "All right." She said, and then, of course, once I got to the front, we had this very big conversation. So everybody in the supermarket could hear what we were saying. And it was very awkward, actually. And, of course, she wanted to nail me for her particular religious group. But it's quite awkward, that expression. It's a cliche. Being born again, you'll probably hear it, you'll see that John 3:16 at football matches, and it's a bit of an image, it's sometimes even an advertising slogan. So when Jesus used that expression, being born again, most of us go a bit, whoa. Well, actually, perhaps we can actually try to get a new handle on it. I want to tell you a story. Once upon a time, when I say once upon a time, it means it's a story, it's made up, it's not true, you got that? When I say once upon a time, I got that. Once upon a time, there was this couple, and she got pregnant. And they were over the moon, looking forward to the birth of the baby. Babies we've had here, you've all had people here having babies, great. Anyway, and my dad, he was so keen to be a great dad, he decided to go. They'd have to go to classes about bringing up children. And part of the class was, the person up front said, "You've got to discipline your children, but when you do so, you must always tell them exactly what they've done wrong." So he thinks, right, always discipline children, but you must tell them what they've done wrong. So baby gets bigger and bigger, and the day comes when it comes to be born. And then eventually, of course, you know what happens. You know, well, we all know what happens, don't we, really? Because many of us have got a memory of that. Yes? Yes? People can remember giving birth? Now, of course, the women do the hard work. Well, they say that, but we fellas work hard too, don't we? Let's be honest. I remember very clearly when my wife gave birth to our first one. We went into the delivery room, and there was a lot of shouting and screaming and yelling. And my wife made some noise too. And I can remember it very clearly. But let's tell you the story. So this man and his wife, they've gone in, and they're in the delivery suite. And he's standing there, and his wife's down there about to give birth. And he's going like this, getting very excited. The baby's about to be born. This is a few years ago. Do you remember in the days of old, when a baby was born, they used to smack its bottom to get it to breathe, the old-fashioned stuff. Anyway, eventually, he's standing there looking at his wife and, you know, what's happening, and the baby's head comes out, he's going, and eventually, the baby's born. And the midwife picks up the baby, passes it over to Dad and says, "Smack its bottom." And he says, "Why? What's it done wrong?" He said, no, just get on with it. Smack its bottom. But he's thinking to himself, well, hang on a minute. What do they say in that class? You must discipline your child, but you must always tell them what they've done wrong. So there's his wife just giving birth. He's holding his baby. He picks it up and says, "Son, I'm sorry to do that to you." He smacks its bottom. "Son, I'm sorry to do it to you, but you've got to learn discipline. So don't let me ever catch you going back in there again." Now, if you're being crude, you might think, actually, that's what being born again was all about. In fact, in that conversation, that was exactly the problem this guy Nicodemus had. Because Jesus said, "You've got to be born again." And he was saying, "Hang on, Jesus, I've got GCSE biology. That's not going to be possible. You can't undo it." And ladies, aren't we grateful it can't happen that way too. But Jesus said, "Oh, Nicodemus, you're such a fundamentalist. I don't mean it physically. I mean, you've got to make a fresh start. See, all those years ago, 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth turned up on the streets of Galilee and he spoke about the kingdom of God, about a new way of being, about a way of life in which God forgives people who mess up, about a way in which people can actually find liberation and justice in their lives when the world's powers don't have to rule everything. He spoke about a way of living that was different, and he showed in his teaching and in his healings and the way he dealt with people how that could be. And he called people to follow him and he said, and if you want to be part of this movement, you've got to make a fresh start. It's not just simply saying, oh, I'll try a bit harder or I'll do a New Year's resolution. He said to them, you've got to make it start all over again. So let go of all that's past and start afresh. That's what he meant by being born again. A complete restart, a reboot, if you like, of your lives. And that's what he spoke about to people. The chance to having a new opportunity. And that's exactly what we're doing here today as we gather together with Marcy and with Lily. Marcy and Lily are coming here to baptism. And baptism is exactly that. It's a new start. Now, some people think that baptism, a christening, is a bit like an inoculation. A little bit of religion to put you off for life. And in some places, maybe it feels like it. But I want to tell you that baptism, a christening, it's not an ending. It's a beginning. It's a launch pad for the future. It's the opening of a door. It's the beginning of an adventure. It's an opportunity for a child to go forward and face life and to have a chance to see things in a new way and to live a new life. And that's exactly what we're reckoning now for Marcy and for Lily here in this church this morning. Being born again, in a sense, is what they're going to be doing in this baptism, making a fresh start. So the parents and godparents will be here supporting them. We're all here to do that for them as well. But the other side of it is, Jesus wasn't just talking about children. He was speaking about adults. And I guess today, as in every church or in any situation, there'll be loads of people here who've got history. We've all got history. There's stuff in the past which feels like a shadow hangs over us. Mess from the past, mistakes, things we wish we'd never said, never did. And what's true for Marcia and for Lily today, that fresh new start, isn't just for babies. It's for grown-ups too. I guess there were a whole load of us folks here who have been christened when we were younger. Probably the back of a drawer somewhere, might even have a certificate. That's like a check that's never been cashed. And this offer today for a fresh start, a new way of living, that's still valid. However many years it might be, it might even be decades for some of us. So this morning, as for Marcy and Lily, we come together in this service. We wish them a fresh start and an amazing adventure of life. The offer is for everyone in this building here today. Amen.